Well, good morning, Whitneyville Bible Church. Welcome. Will you please stand as we open up our service and worship this morning, praising the Lord that He has a melody in our hearts. Let's sing it together.
Right on time, as usual. I almost have it together. I got to get my glasses. Okay. We have a few announcements this morning. First of all, if you're new with us or a visitor, our Lex Connect cards are right in front of you in the seat in front of you. If you could fill one of those out and put it in the offering plate or in the connection card box on top of the sound booth, that would be awesome. If you're a first-time visitor, we have this for you. So please see somebody with a name tag. And if you don't see somebody with a name tag, you can find me and I'll make sure that you get your gift. Young at Heart Luncheon, Wednesday, November 8th at noon. Meat and potatoes are provided. Bring a dish to share. Come for fun, food, and trivia. So it sounds like some fun times there. Bring your brain. They have a sign up in the foyer, so they just want to know how many to plan for. So please sign up if you plan to come. Snow removal help needed. The deacons, we have two people that have volunteered. We'd like a team of four so we could do 1 week a month for each of them. And that one include usually Wednesdays and Sundays just to make sure the snow's away from the doors and all salted and everything for everybody. We do have a snowblower, we do have shovels, and we do have as much salt as you need. So Please, if we have a couple more people that could volunteer, that would greatly help us. We really don't want to have to hire anybody. It'd be nice if our church could take care of that for us. Church membership class, November 11th, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. here at the church. If you're interested in church membership, please plan to attend this class. You can fill out the Lux Connect card that's in front of you as well for that. You can do that as well for snow removal. Sorry, you don't have to see a deacon. You could write it on the card and just put that in the offering plate as well. Okay. Couple more things. Missionary Christmas. We collect a gift every year for our missionaries, and so we're doing that now. We hope to, our last collection will be the last Sunday in November, the 26th. So if you would mark your envelope, Missionary Christmas, and we'll make sure that gets to the right designation. Thanksgiving food and monetary gifts for that as well. I don't know, the table out here is set up for non-perishable items to be brought in. If you could do that to help out. We're kind of planning on six families. What we would like is to have, if anybody has a knows anybody in need, the deacons would like you to fill out. You could fill out the Lex Connection card, or you could hand any of the deacons a note with their name and their address, and we'll make sure to get them a turkey and all the fixings so that they have a meal to eat on Thanksgiving. And I think that does it for announcements. Our scripture reading today is Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so you know what the promise is. Verse 3, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. It's a great promise. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us. I pray, Father, that we would worship you today in love and truth. I pray that each one of us would be able to set aside the things that might be bothering them today, Lord, whether it's whatever it is, Father, the hard times you had this week or anything that's going on in your life. But may we just be able to put those aside and give you the worship and the glory that you deserve. Father, we pray this morning for the persecuted Christians across the globe. Father, today is the International Day of Prayer, that we remember our sisters and brothers that are being persecuted. Father, many of them have been beaten. Some have been kicked out of their homes. Many of them have been put in prison, jailed, and many have been murdered, Father. And Father, we lift them up. We want them to know we think about them, that we pray for them, that we're so proud of their witness. And Father, we ask that you would use their witness to hit the hearts of those that are persecuting them. That some of them, Father, when they see you in them, would have a change of heart and understand who you are. Father, we think of Jerusalem and Israel today. We ask for peace and strength for your people. We pray, Father, that you would bring peace, that you would give them the strength and the ability to protect themselves as your word says you will. Lord, we also want to pray this morning for Fred and Rebecca Mukumbu, Lord. It's such a devastating thing to hear that you can be kicked off your land, that the churches would no longer be there, the School of Hallelujah. Lord, but we know, Father, that you are in command, and we know that you listen to your people, and we know you love your missionaries, Lord. And so we ask that you would be with Fred and Rebecca, with Caleb and Abigail. Lord, we just ask that your hand would be with them, that you would build them up, and that your providence would stand pat, that you would show them your love, whatever your plan may be. We ask, Father, that you would just envelope them in love. May they know we're thinking and praying for them. And may the government have a change of heart, Father. Father, we pray for Sheldon Rhodes this morning. We're thankful that his surgery went well. We just pray, Father, that he would continue to heal, that the pain would leave, and that he would be able to just get back on his feet and back witnessing for you. We pray for Matt and Sherry Stouchestike this morning, Lord. We pray for Abby and Michaela and Taylor as well. We just ask, Lord, that your hand would be with them, that you would continue to guide their family, that you would continue to give them strength and a close relationship with you, Lord. Lord, we want to pray for our Bible Blast workers. We just ask, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would open your word to them, help them to be able to explain your word clearly, for the children to hear, to understand, and to begin to stand on your word. Lord, we pray that you would send your people to help and volunteer, that more teachers would step forward for this great ministry for you. Lord, we want to lift up Watson Bible Church. We pray that you would be with them. We pray that as they are searching for a senior pastor, that you would send the right man to them. We pray, Lord, that they would continue to be a light for their community, that they would preach Christ and Him crucified, that they would stand on your word. Father, we ask the same for our church. We ask, Father, that your word would be taught, that our hearts would be open to it, that each one of us would grow deeper in our faith with you, and that we would all be prepared to speak to others about you. Father, time is short. We pray that you would use us. We pray that you would strengthen us. We pray that you would guide us and give us the words. Father, we also want to lift up Mike and Sherry Carlson this morning, Father. Father, they have stepped away from the first church they felt called to in Italy. Lord, there's much going on there, and they didn't want to be a distraction. So we just ask that you would continue to build them up, give them wisdom. They've had a couple other churches ask for them to come. So, Father, we just ask that you would let them know where you want them to be. We're so thankful, Lord, that all things are in your hands, that we can come to you at all times, that you never change, that all your promises are as true today as they were when you gave them. Thank you, Father. Father, we are about to give our offerings today. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would use them for your glory. And in Jesus Christ we pray, Lord. Amen.
God reigns.
Amen.
Amen. Will you please stand as we continue in worship this morning then? We need to take time to be holy as He is holy. So let's continue praising and worshiping Him.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us today. I do have to put out a special announcement. If anybody finds Adriel's voice, if you could please return it to her. She lost her voice, and so that's why she's not leading us with her voice this morning. So I just want to thank you for being here anyhow and for leading us with the team. Excellent. While you take your copy of God's Word and turn to Proverbs chapter 23, just want to mention a couple of follow-up things along with Dave Bender's announcements this morning. I appreciate him bringing all those to our attention. I want to encourage you to be aware that, as Dave mentioned, that today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Many of our brothers and sisters all around the world, in fact, more at this time in history than in any other point in time in the history of the church, are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ being persecuted. It's our responsibility, dear ones, to be in prayer for them, to make it our business to know what's happening in the lives of our brothers and sisters and be in prayer for them. Did I encourage the boys and girls to be dismissed for a Bible blast? I don't think I did. So let me go ahead and do that. And then remember Bible Blast and Bible Blast Junior. Appreciate those folks who are helping with that, like Dave mentioned. I want to also thank you all for your faithful gifts, your offerings. You know, see in our prayer list today, we're praying for Fred and Rebecca Mukumbu, as David mentioned when he was doing the call to worship and prayer time. Michael and Sherry Carlson. These are faithful ministries, faithful missionaries that we support. We want to encourage you to be not only in prayer for them, but continue to give faithfully so that we can keep them current on all the ways that we support them, especially financially. And then also, just mentioned Bible Blast, your faithful giving helps make Bible Blast possible, provide the materials and the resources that go to help teach boys and girls the Word of God. So I want to thank you for that. And then the elders just want to underscore and invite you, those of you who are interested in pursuing or just even investigating membership at Whitneyville Bible Church this coming Saturday on the 11th at 9 o'clock, 9 to noon. We'll be having a membership class here. If you want to fill out the Let's Connect card and just let us know that way, you could text us or email the office. You could talk to either the pastors. We'd be glad to know about that. And you're interested in that. We're just looking forward to a good time. We'll have a light breakfast together and a really encouraging time learning more about Whitneyville Bible Church. And I just want to encourage all of you to do whatever you can with our holiday food donations. This is such a wonderful and practical way to share the love of Christ with people in our community. And as Dave also mentioned, you have the month of November to provide gifts for our missionaries, Christmas gifts. Each Sunday we'll be collecting those gifts. And every year we get just a huge response from them expressing their gratitude to Whitneyville Bible Church for this special generous thing that we do. So I encourage you with all those things. One last announcement that I want to make before we turn our attention to God's Word. I shared this announcement at the end of our service last week. I want to read it again. In light of the recent conduct, challenges, and concerns that we've experienced as a result of our August 20, September 10, and 17th membership meetings, the elders invited the Institute of Biblical Leadership to come and to help us address those matters. They have been here, and through an arduous process, they have made some recommendations to help us move forward in unity as a church fellowship. To that end, representatives from the Institute of Biblical Leadership will be with us on Sunday, December 3rd. This is what I would call an all-hands-on-deck Sunday. If you are part of the membership of Whitneyville Bible Church or a regular attender at Whitneyville Bible Church and you call this your church home, we strongly urge you to be here for that day. The schedule will be different from our regular Sunday morning worship schedule. The IBL team will be meeting with us from 9:30 in the morning until 12:30. They will bring scriptural exhortations to us as a church body and challenge us toward repentance of sinful attitudes, conduct, and words, and aggressively pursue reconciliation. Please make this day a priority in your schedule as we seek to be the body of Christ our Lord Jesus desires. Thank you so much. Now, if you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like to ask you to meet me, to begin with, in Proverbs chapter 23. Be reading at verse 13 down through verse 25. And we're going to be learning today, as we continue our series, The Art of Living. Today's message is part two of a message we're calling Family Matters. Oh, the art of living, it's giving up the self-life. That's what we've been saying. And I suppose there's no place more critical and obvious that we need to learn how to give up the self-life in the context of family. Isn't it true? If you doubt that, ask your spouse, ask your kids, ask your parents. They'll be quick to tell you how important this lesson is for each and every one of us. Proverbs chapter 23, I'm beginning the reading of God's word at verse 13. This is God's holy and it's an inerrant word. Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and you will rescue his life from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will indeed rejoice. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say what is right. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Instead, always fear the Lord. For then you will have a future and your hope will not be dashed. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your mind on the right course. Don't associate with those who drink too much wine, with those who gorge themselves on meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will become poor, and the grogginess will clothe them in rags. Listen to your father who gave you life. And don't despise your mother when she is old. Buy and do not sell truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Let your father and mother have joy, and let her who gave birth to you rejoice. And then if you'll turn back to Proverbs chapter 4, I'd like to read these first 9 verses of Proverbs chapter 4, and you'll see why we're reading these. They'll underscore the second part of our message today, especially. Listen, sons, to father's discipline, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding, for I am giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and precious to my mother, he taught me and said, your heart must hold on to my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words from my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom and she will watch over you. Love her and she will guard you. Wisdom is supreme. So get wisdom and whatever else you get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of favor on your head, and she will give you a crown of beauty. Pray God's blessing on the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a moment, shall we? So, dear Father, today, as we come to your word, we ask you to once again instruct us in the way of wisdom. Would you help us to truly master the art of living as you have taught us and described it in your word, especially as we're discovering it in the book of Proverbs over these weeks. Lord, each one of us here will recognize that family life, it's hard, it's difficult, it's challenging. And perhaps there is no other arena of life. We're learning how to give up the self-life is more necessary and critical than within the context of family. So Lord, this week, as we turn our attention to our children and to the other end of the spectrum of family life, to our grandparents, will you make our hearts ready and quick to receive the truths of your word and also learn how to live out family life your way? I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Plato, that's Plato, not Plato. Plato, the Greek philosopher, he had it right. He said, the saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large. That's as true today as it was back in the day when Plato wrote it. The family indeed is the crucible of life, and what happens in our families affects virtually every other aspect of societal life. Perhaps in no other sphere of our existence is the battle over giving up the self-life more necessary yet difficult. Mastering the art of living by giving up the self-life is a constant challenge, and family life is not exempt from that worthy struggle. That's why these two messages last week and today have been entitled Family Matters. Family Matters. There's an intentional mixed message in that title, by the way. That two-way interpretation of this title centers around that word matters. Family matters. That is, when referring to family matters, we're speaking of those details pertaining to family life. Family matters. Also, when we use that term, when referring to family matters, we're suggesting that family matters. Family is important. Family is significant. Family life is critical. So as we get started today, I'd like to take a few minutes to consider three principal institutions that guide and direct societal life. I'm speaking of the institution of the family, the institution of the church, and the institution of human government. Each of these is not the mere byproduct of human ingenuity. No. Humanity, left to itself, would never and could never devise these institutions as we read of them in God's Word. They are the byproduct and the design of the genius of our Creator. I want you to think of these three institutions as sort of overlapping circles. You have the circle of family, and next you have the circle of the church, and then you have the circle of human government. Those second two, that is the church and human government, are influenced by the first one, the family. The church and human government will only be as strong and effective as the family. Here's why. We're told in Scripture that the institution of the family holds what I would like to call the rod of instruction. You heard that referred to just in the Scripture reading here this morning, didn't you? It's within the context of family life that children form their identity and discover their purpose. At least that is the way that it should be. It is in the home children are brought to an early understanding and knowledge of their Creator and the need for salvation and a redeemed relationship with Him and with others and even with themselves. God has placed conscience in each of us, but the development of conscience occurs within the family. Our families shape and fashion our conscience for good or ill. Then there is the sphere of the church. If the family holds the rod of instruction, the church holds, as Jesus called it, the keys of the kingdom. It is within the context of the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ, where the knowledge and instruction of God's word is provided for individuals and families. It is within the context of the church that people discover their God-given design and purpose alongside their brothers and sisters in Christ. It is in the church we learn the importance and the practicality of the great commandment, as we were studying in Sunday school this week and last week, learning how to love God and to love others. There's obviously much more we could say about family and the church, but then consider with me that third sphere, that third institution, the state or human government. If the family holds a rod of instruction, and the church holds the keys to the kingdom, then I would put it this way, that the government holds what I would call the sword of justice. It is not the role of human government to micromanage every detail of the lives of its citizens. It is within the context of human government that laws are enacted to provide safety and security for its citizens. Human government is to reasonably provide for life, liberty, and happiness of its citizens, as our founding fathers explained. And as I mentioned, the church and human government will only be as strong and effective as the family. Yes, family matters. As goes the family, so go our communities, so goes the nation. That's why last time we took the time to see what the book of Proverbs has to say to husbands and wives about marriage. And we also saw what Proverbs has to say to dads and moms regarding their parenting roles, goals, and strategies. Today, we're going to turn our attention to what the book of Proverbs has to say to children in the home, and also what Proverbs has to say to grandparents and their important role within family life. And once again, we're going to discover that so much is at stake. Family matters. So here's a big idea of the message today. It's actually the same one that we had last week, because this is actually like two parts to the same message, I guess, if you think of it that way. Let's make sure we're doing family God's way. So when it comes to being kids in God's family context, let's make sure we're doing it the way God wants us to be, boys and girls. Grandparents, let's make sure that as we are grandparents in the home, that we're following God's pattern for that. I believe it's in your notes. I want to draw your attention to two verses. We'll come back to these later, but Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son brings joy to his father." Isn't that an encouraging word? "But a foolish son, heartache to his mother." So the word to children is to obviously be wise and bless your parents and yourself, as we'll see. Proverbs 4:3-4, we read it just a few moments ago. The writer of Proverbs says, "I want to tell you, when I was a son with my father, he taught me. He taught me some things." And we'll take a look at that toward the last half of our message today. The scripture tells us a lot about family life. The plans that God has for family are not ambiguous or confusing, just as much as husbands and wives have a necessary responsibility to tend their marriages God's way. And just as dads and moms have a necessary responsibility to parent God's way, so too children have responsibilities and obligations within the home. God takes this matter quite seriously, by the way, much more seriously than most so-called Christian families do, I'm afraid. For example, Proverbs 20, verse 11, "Even a young man is known by his actions, by whether his behavior is pure and upright." Child, student, young person, watch out. Be careful. Your character is showing, even from a very early age. That's what Proverbs is telling us. Proverbs 22:6, "Start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it." Obviously, kids can't forsake what they never have been taught. So parents need to remember to the obligation they have to teach their kids in the way of wisdom. And children throughout their lives need to learn and remember the way that they should go, from their earliest years all the way through their adult and sunset years. That's what that proverb is telling us. So let's get started, shall we? Let's discover what instruction there is to be found in God's word for children and young people within the context of their family. Here's the first point I'd like to make today. Godly, wise children honor their parents. Godly, wise children honor their parents. Now, before we look specifically into the book of Proverbs and what it has to say about this principle, I need to point out a couple of things. First, the concept of honor. Honor for parents from the children is one that runs all the way through Scripture. Honor conveys the idea of showing value to something or to someone. It means to give weight or substance in your life to someone or something. It's the idea of a scale. It means, on the one hand, I have all of these things in my life that I find valuable and important, but when it comes to honoring parents, that weighs more. I give it more substance and weight in my life than all of these other things. The only other thing in Scripture that we're told to honor more than that, more than our parents, is God himself. The same word is used to show honor to God as it is to show honor to parents. Second, lest you think that this concept is a dusty relic from days gone by, and since this is Old Testament stuff, we don't really need to pay attention to it or give it a serious thought. Let me remind you that this principle of honor for parents is reiterated in the New Testament. All of the principles that we've been learning about giving up the self-life from the book of Proverbs are authoritative and directly from God's word, not just, you know, for another time and another place. These are truths and principles for today. Again, this business of honoring parents is something that God takes seriously, and kids, you need to wake up and pay attention to this. Our society is not going to tell you to do this. In fact, it's telling you to do just the opposite. It's telling you to disregard your parents. Your parents don't know what's best for you. Oh, the state knows what's best for you. The educational system, it knows what's best for you. So don't worry about your parents. Let me remind you what Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says. You'll recognize this as the fifth commandment. Also reiterated in Deuteronomy 5:16, by the way. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Obviously, since I called it the fifth commandment, this is a command. It's a command. Yes, it's a command for children. It's not an option as far as God is concerned. Children, show honor, show value to your mom and dad. Kids, give particular consideration to your parents, above all other voices in your life. But notice, this is not just a command to children only. It is a command that follows us through even our adult years. And notice, this is a commandment with a promise that's attached to it. Dave drew our attention to that when he quoted out of Ephesians just a few moments ago at the beginning of the service. And don't you know, this command is reiterated in the New Testament. You're aware of that, right? So don't try to let yourself off the hook by saying, oh, this is Proverbs stuff. It's for another time and place. Honoring parents is valid even today, although it has fallen out of fashion with our 21st century Western culture. Honoring our parents brings blessing to our lives and our community and our nation. I didn't say that. God's word said that. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, the verses that Dave read for us at the beginning of the service. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. According to Jesus, fulfilling the fifth commandment is one way to please God. He said in Matthew 19:19, honor your father and mother, Jesus said. Now here's Proverbs on this particular topic of honor. We read it a few moments ago at the beginning of the service. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son heartache to his mother. There is blessing and joy in parenting. We talked about that. We talked about that last week. The question for the kids is this. Are you a wise or foolish son or daughter? And right now, I just want to ask all the young people that are in the service to just check your spirit right now. As you hear this instruction, how does it resonate with you? Do you find your large muscles kind of tightening up? Find yourself kind of gritting your teeth? Or do you find your heart and your spirit warmed? Wise or foolish, son or daughter? The writer of Proverbs would say to us, wise up, Wise up, little ones. Learn the art of living in the way of wisdom just as soon as you can and be a blessing to your folks and to your family. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Obviously, the Proverbs are assuming that you have godly and wise parents. And if you do, consider yourself blessed. Because I have to tell you, most of the parents in our society today are not godly or wise. And I fear that there are many even within the church who are not particularly that godly or wise. Learning the art of living from our godly, wise parents is a way to carry the family name with honor. And of course, the opposite is true. Rejecting and neglecting the way of wisdom is dishonoring to our family. Proverbs 29:3 and verse 15, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but one who consorts with prostitutes destroys his wealth. Rod of correction, verse 15, imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother. Squandering family resources on frivolous, unrighteous pursuits dishonors the family name. I'm sure that as I read that verse 3 just a moment ago, you made note of it. It's a contrast. It's a contrast between a man who loves the wisdom acquired from his godly and wise father in contrast to the person who disregards the way of wisdom. The instructions in that verse follows kids into their adult years, at least it should be, because you read the whole intent of the verse is describing adult activity. That verse may very well have been the impetus for Jesus telling the parable of the lost son, also known as the parable of the prodigal son. Again, as noted in verse 15 just a little earlier, an undisciplined child. An undisciplined child brings dishonor on their family. A child who defies the discipline of warranted correction and punishment is disgraceful. That's sad to think about, isn't it? Godly, wise children honor their parents. And as it turns out, that's good for everybody. Here's another principle for kids to take hold of. Godly, wise children obey their parents. Godly, wise children obey their parents. Just in the passages that we read this morning, Proverbs 23, Proverbs 4, and as you've seen in our series, we come across this statement over and over. Son, heed your father's instructions. My son, pay attention to my word. You see that over and over, or some variation of that sentiment. Obedience. Obedience is a lost quality among many people, but it seems to be especially rare among many children these days. This drought of obedience is the direct result of postmodern thinking, which leads to postmodern parenting, which leads to postmodern disobedience on the part of children. Since we're all told in our postmodern society, I mean, we can create our own truth. We can create our own reality. Why should a child obey their parents? Or anyone else, for that matter? You can't tell me what to do. Seems to be the watchword for young and old alike. This present-day failing flies in the face of the clear and wise teaching of God's Word. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son responds to his father's discipline, but a mocker doesn't listen to rebuke. That's not only an instruction for children, by the way. It is, of course, very important for children, but even adults who refuse correction and a justifiable rebuke are considered by Proverbs to be a mocker. Obedience is a critical component of mastering the art of living, or the way of wisdom, as I also like to call it. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible. This is the other side of the coin of the Proverbs 13:1 that I just read. Taking our parents' instruction and correction to heart is really a good idea, the writer of Proverbs says, for ourselves and for others who have to endure and put up with us. New Testament reiterates this important principle of obedience. Ephesians 6:1. We read Ephesians 6:2 and 3 just a moment ago, and Dave read them at the call to worship, but here is Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Paul shares this imperative statement just before reiterating the fifth commandment. Don't miss the condition in this statement. Parents, our children are not given a blanket command to obey us no matter what. It's not what it says. It matters a great deal what we expect and how we expect it and how we communicate it to our children. The text instructs boys and girls and young people to obey their parents in the Lord. From God's point of view, it is the right thing to obey our parents in this way, no matter what child development strategies are the fad of the day. Colossians 3:20. Similarly, Paul says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Paul reiterates this important principle, this important command. Not only is it right to obey your parents, such obedience puts a smile on God's face. Boys and girls and young people, I just want to ask you, how do you resonate with that right now? How does that respond? How does your spirit respond to that? I hope warmly. I find it interesting that there's really not an excessive burden placed on children in the home. These are the two basic instructions that God's word gives. Honor your parents. Obey your parents. And in so doing, a child will learn to master the art of living. And now a word for Papa and Mormor. I'm Papa. She's Mormor. Granddads and grandmoms, it's our turn to listen up and see how God wants us to do family His way. Here's the word for you. Godly, wise grandparents also pass along a righteous legacy. Godly, wise grandparents pass along a righteous legacy. I'd like to ask you to go back to Proverbs chapter 4 with me for just a minute. If you have your finger there, just open it up. I want you to look at this passage. This is one of the two passages that we opened up the message with this morning. These words are the account of one father passing along to his children what he learned from his father, from his parents. You see what it says there in verses 3 and 4. You might want to mark it. He says, when I was a son, my father, when I was a son with my father, tender and precious to my mother, he taught me and said, and then the rest of the passage is what his father said that he wants to pass on to his kids. His father wants his son, he wants his children to know the godly, wise counsel that he received from his father. So from the end of verse 4 all the way down through verse 9, you have a dad quoting granddad. I want you to let your eyes read over that text again, and I want you to mark the words and phrases that this father gleaned from his father that he wants to pass along to his kids. Get it out. Read it. Mark it down. Look at verse 1. A father's discipline. Gain understanding. Verse 2, good instruction, which obviously implies it's possible to have bad instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. Down to verse 4, your heart must hold on to my words. Keep my commands and live. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Don't turn away from the words from my mouth. Verse 6, don't abandon wisdom. Verse 7, wisdom is supreme. Get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding. This is what the dad is saying Papa taught him, and he wants to pass on to his kids. It's quite a catalog of instruction and guidance referred to right here. Grandparents, you can have a huge impact on your grandkids, but it must start with the influence for righteousness that you have on your own kids first. Proverbs 16, verse 31. Gray hair is a glorious crown. It is found in the ways of righteousness. Now, of course, this does not mean that just because a senior adult has gray hair, they are a glorious individual or have accumulated righteous living. The idea here is that grandparents and senior adults should live in an honorable, distinguished, and righteous manner. Alongside that proverb, consider Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is gray hair. I love the way the Moody Bible Commentary explains this. It says, allow me to read this. This proverb compares what brings glory to young men and honor to old men. The young can take pride in their strength. The old can take pride in their gray hair, an evidence of their wisdom, righteousness, and successful life. The young should seek the old to grow wise, and the old should not begrudge the young their vigor. After all, although both are good, wisdom is even better than strength. We saw that in Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6 several weeks ago. So viewed in the context of Proverbs, the Moody Bible Commentary says, the old probably have the better deal. I appreciated those thoughts when I came across those in my study for this series. Grandparents, live an honorable, distinguished, and righteous life within the context of your family. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of children is their fathers. I love the way this proverb communicates the mutual, multi-generational joy and blessing of righteous family life. This pattern is not one that we see a whole lot in modern families across our culture. Christian families should be set apart from those who don't yet know God and His ways. Mutual joy and blessing should be distinguishing marks of those family members that belong to God, not turmoil, strife, and grief. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Here we find an interesting admonition for multi-generational fiscal responsibility. I have to tell you, as a pastor, I'm shocked how many families do not have thoughtful end-of-life provisions. Many times the patriarchs and matriarchs of a family have exhausted their financial resources or do not leave enough for their remaining descendants to care for funeral and burial arrangements, let alone any finances and material value as an inheritance. The Word of God suggests a better, more well thought out provisional legacy as an ideal. Another book of wisdom literature, the book of Psalms, Psalm 145, verse 4. Those of you taking notes, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. In case you wonder what righteous families look like? There it is. There it is. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. So just like Proverbs 4:1-9, this psalm reminds us that godly, wise parents make it their intention and purpose to do the work of discipleship right in the home. We say that the Great Commission is accomplished by disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That is exactly the pattern that Psalm 145 verse 4 is describing, teaching and sharing the knowledge of the Holy One is the key to multi-generational wisdom in the family, from grandparents to their children who become parents who pass that knowledge along to their children who are the grandchildren who then become parents who have children and so on. And so on it should be from one generation to the next. So now in these concluding moments of the message, we come to that point where I like to ask the question, so what am I going to do about it? What are lessons over last week and this week that we can take away from all of this teaching? And I know you feel like maybe you're drinking from a fire hydrant with all the verses that I'm throwing at you. But that's on purpose. So what are you going to do about it? What's family life going to look like for you in your home? So just in general categories, let me just say this. Families maintain an attitude of service toward one another. When family members help each other, the whole family benefits. That happens when each family member understands their place within the family unit. Husbands and wives, the best thing you can do for your family is to be strong, healthy, and good in your marriage relationship. The best thing you can do for your children, men, is to make sure you really love your wife. And wives, the best thing that you can do for your children is to make sure your kids know that you love and respect your husband. Children, you need to learn it early. Family is spelled T-E-A-M. The old acrostic applies. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Do your part, kids, to ensure your family is going forward God's way. Grandparents, be sure you aren't meddling and micromanaging your adult children and grandchildren. Your adult children should have the space to, as Genesis explains it, to leave, cleave, and unite as their own family unit. If you don't let that happen, then you will not serve your family well. Keep the main things, and set your personal preferences aside. Your adult children and their families have to find their way before God together on their own, and you need to let them have the space to do that. Let's narrow the focus a little bit. Lessons for husbands and wives. Here's the one I'd like to really encourage you with. Husbands and wives, stoke the fires of marital intimacy. When a couple unites God's way, it satisfies their deepest longings and it gives the children a loving model of what family is all about. It creates a safe and a secure environment for the whole family. A journalist and author, Minion McLaughlin, said, a successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always with the same person. That's the truth of it. Marital intimacy is achieved as the byproduct of hard work and commitment. Mutual love and respect must exist in our marital relationship if intimacy is going to thrive. Remember, husbands, like we talked about last week, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Someone said that a good marriage is formed between two good forgivers. There's a lot of truth to that adage. Forgive and forgive often. And when you failed your spouse, seek forgiveness early by offering a sincere apology. This is what I said or did that was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. How can I make amends for what I did or said wrong? And here is how I will be accountable to not do that again. No self-justification, no rationalization. Anything short of that is not a genuine apology. The fires of marital intimacy are stoked when there is mutual trust. Trust comes at the intersection of what I like to describe as character, competence, and context. There's a lot I could say about that. I won't go into all that today. But maintaining righteous, godly character with competent life skills in the context of marriage and family builds trust. And it stokes the fires of intimacy. Parents. Here's an overarching lesson for us. Parents, be intentional about your parenting. You can't pass along what you don't know. Be sure to take the time to discover what God expects of parents. Training up the kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is the only way to go. Don't exasperate our kids. Don't push kids toward anger at us. And I have to say this, there's never been a better time to get your hands on excellent resources for parenting than today. There's so many resources, books, a teaching series, online websites, and all of that weren't available to us when we were first married and having kids. Get those resources, read them, avail yourself of them, and then put the principles of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to work in your home. You won't regret it. Dads and moms, guiding your children toward the art of living, it's teamwork. Let me emphasize that again. Between mom and dad, it's got to be a team effort. God never intended for parenting to be a solo act. He does not desire for a parent to have to go it alone. But if you must, if the circumstances of your life force you into a situation where you must, be sure to allow extended, godly, wise family members to help and support your efforts. Good parenting is not an accident. It is the result of intentional, persistent, hard work. It's a commitment for the long haul. Those of you who are parents, did you notice it's like 24/7? You never get a day off. You never get time off. You don't get a vacation from being a parent. Even when your kids grow up, you don't get time off from being a parent. But this important work is worth every ounce of energy and effort. I love what Frederick Douglass said. It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Men. I have a special word for you today. Men, God intends for you to be the loving leader in your home. Men, it's up to us. I said at the beginning of the message, as goes the family, so goes the church, so goes society. It starts with you. It starts with you. God has granted us the influence and authority within the home to either make or break our families. We can leave a legacy of righteousness that passes along knowledge of the Holy One to the generations who come behind us, or we can devastate our families and wreak havoc that will last for generations to come. Man should lead his wife and children in a loving way and live out biblical, spiritual, and moral values. I'm talking about embodying wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, as we've come to learn about these in the book of Proverbs. This kind of man inspires his family to do the same. And finally, children. It's an overarching lesson for you. Learn to submit and follow the godly and wise authority of your parents. Learn to submit and follow the godly and wise authority of your parents. Children obey and honor their parents in the Lord when they submit to and follow the righteous authority of their parents. Such children live by wise and righteous guidelines and rules. It's good for them and everyone around them. Kids, know you have a viable place within your family. Make sure you can help your family pursue God's ideal for your family. Do your part. That brings me to the big idea again, the end of the message here. Let's make sure we're doing family God's way. I may have shared this illustration before, I'm not sure, but I believe it's apropos today. Two families from the state of New York were scrutinized very carefully in the late 19th and early 20th centuries through a series of very detailed and exacting studies. One was the Max Jukes family, and the other was the Jonathan Edwards family. The thing that they discovered in this study is really quite remarkable. I'd put it like this. Like begets like. Here's what I mean. Max Jukes was an unbelieving man, and he married a woman of like character who lacked principle. And among the known descendants, over 1,200 were studied. Like I said, an extensive and exacting, detailed study. 310 became professional vagrants. 440 physically wrecked their lives by a debauched lifestyle. 130 were sent to the penitentiary for an average of 13 years each, 7 of those for murder. There were over 100 who became alcoholics. 60 became habitual thieves. 190 were public prostitutes. Of the 20 who earned a trade, half of them, 10 of them, learned their trade in a state prison. It cost the state about $1,500,000 over a period of several generations, and none of these folks made any discernible contribution whatever to society. By the way, that $1,500,000 is actual dollars at the time, and that would be equivalent today to more than $58 million in 2023 dollars. Now, about the same era, the family of Jonathan Edwards came on the scene, and Jonathan Edwards was a man of God. He married a woman of like character, and their family began, and they became also a part of this very exacting and detailed study that was made. 300 became preachers, missionaries, and theological professors. Over 100 became college professors in other fields. Over 100 became attorneys, and then 30 of them became judges. 60 of the family became physicians. And over 60 became authors of good classic books. 14 became presidents of universities. There were numerous giants in American industry that emerged from the Jonathan Edwards family. 3 became United States congressmen, and 1 became vice president of the United States. Just from this series of studies alone done on the Max Jukes family and the Jonathan Edwards family, you can see the importance and significance of family life today. And you can see why it's so important to do family God's way. You can see why it's so critical to give up the self life at home and together as a family master the art of living. Let's pray. And so, dear Father, today, I pray you would help each and every one of us, young and old alike, to find our identity first in you and then understand our place within our families. Lord, as men, we recognize that the challenge to us to lead in our homes is a huge and significant responsibility. It's very intimidating. Help us not to run from it. Help us not to avoid it. Help us not to say, well, we'll give attention to that to another day, another time down the road. No. In the stillness of this moment, before you, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to each man here who's a dad. Would you bring us great conviction to be committed to learning to lead family God's way, your way? And as husbands and wives, would you help us to learn how to love and respect one another more? Would you help us to learn how to be quick to forgive each other because surely we have faults? Would you help us to have the character and the life skill that can be applied in the context of marriage so our marriages will thrive, so our children will look to us and feel safe and secure? Would you help every one of the children in our fellowship, Lord, to recognize the significance that they have within their family? They're not tag-alongs, they're not add-ons. They are the business of life. Would you help them to learn how to honor and obey their parents? Would you help parents to be honorable and accurate in the things that they ask for so that the children can honor and obey? And for those of us who are grandparents, would you help us to learn to know where the line needs to be drawn, to not impose ourselves on our families, but to support and encourage them toward righteousness and remind them of the valuable truths from your word that we have come to know? Would you help us all to understand who we are in you, Lord Jesus Christ, and to give up our self-life? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand. want to leave you with Proverbs 17, verse 6. We referred to it in the message, but I think it's just a beautiful way to close out our message today and our service today. Grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of children is their fathers. Walk with the king. Amen. Be